All right, welcome back to the MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number one, Ken. Dummy number two, Lou, is here as well. And we are joined by a very special guest. Mr. Ron Solo, at POC underscore culture on Twitter, is the founder and editor-in-chief of POCculture.com, which celebrates diversity in pop culture. He's also the co-founder of the Shang-Chi Challenge, which is raising money to take kids from the Boys and Girls Club of San Gabriel Valley to free screenings of Shang-Chi, which comes out in theaters exclusively in a little over a week. I think we're 8 days out, Ron. Thank you so much for joining us. This is really super exciting for us to have you on.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited. I appreciate the invite. And you could just call me Dummy Number Three.
Okay, well, Dummy Number Three is here. We are very happy to add a triplet to the show. Ron, we wanted to get John, specifically for this episode. Like I said, we're 8 days out from Shang-Chi. You've seen the film. We'll get to that in a few minutes. That's a little tease for everybody. But the first thing first is the marketing behind this film has ended up putting a lot of pressure on this theatrical release. You know, Phase 4 has been filled with diverse stories, and it's like a very big agenda for Marvel to do such a thing. Do you think this marketing is fair to the film and to the Asian-led cast?
Wow. We're off to a good start. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question because, and I like the way you framed that, like, is it fair to the cast is very interesting. So when I talk to a lot of, not specifically Shang-Chi cast members, but, you know, any Asian or diverse creators, actors, you know, writers, directors, whatever, a lot of times I ask them, like, how do you feel about the burden of representation? And, of course, everybody experiences it differently, but I will say that a lot of creators are approaching it from the perspective of embracing it, you know, that they understand the responsibility that they carry with them. And of course it's not easy and no one person can represent everybody in the diaspora, but I think most people embrace it and look forward to it because they never had someone like them when they were kids. So they were ready to step up. And I think that's from what I understand and interviews, that's true for this cast and crew as well.
Yeah, and I'm interested because, I mean, the Asian community and the kind of the culture within the culture, right? It's hard to get right with something like this. And again, you've seen the film, but, you know, for folks like Dummies number one and two who are just kind of silly white dudes, like, you know, how do you put together a film with this much cultural relevance behind it and not stray too much into silliness, right? Like, how do you keep it true to that community?
It's a very tough balance. I think the first thing that I really loved about the film, and I know we're not talking spoilers, so no worries about that.
But so it's a hashtag no spoiler zone.
That's right. And we'll all find out soon enough, hopefully, if we're able to go to theaters. But what's great to me about the film is that it really is an Asian American film, mm-hmm. as opposed to a distinctly like East Asian film. So I get a lot of questions about, well, what's the big deal about Shang-Chi? When, you know, we all grew up on Jackie Chan or Jet Li or Donnie Yen.
Yeah.
What was the big deal? Well, the thing is, first of all, I love those legends and I watch almost all their films, but they're, you know, very Chinese actors making Chinese movies that get imported over to the US. Whereas this film is about an Asian American character. Shang-Chi is Asian American. And the director, Dustin Daniel Cretton, is Asian American. The writer, David Callahan, also Asian American. Sima Liu is Canadian Chinese. And so all around this story is an Asian American or Western Asian influence. And so, like, I think that's great from the cultural perspective, but also to keep in mind, there is that American part, right? Like, you can relate to it because I'm going to say you and I, we don't know each other too well, but I know we have a lot more in common than probably my cousin in Korea who I, you know, never met.
Right.
And so that's
right.
The thing that is really important to me is, like, it is a very Asian American film.
Well, you're dummy number three now, so we have way more in common than you want. I can tell you that off the start. Ron, I'm you mentioned if we're able to go to theaters, and obviously we're still dealing with the Delta variant. You know, I don't want to say the word because who knows what higher powers will censor our podcast here. But Schmovid 19 continues to be a real problem. And, you know, this film, man, has a lot of pressure. Marvel is putting the Eternals date, reportedly, is putting the Eternals date on potential hold if this, you know, if the box office doesn't spring back. I mean, what could you say to somebody who's like, I don't know if I should go to the theater right now? Like, we got to go, right? Like, this is super important.
Well, first I want to ask who we're like, is Voldemort? Like,
listen,
podcast that we can't say.
I know. I've heard too many horror stories of YouTube folks saying the Schmovid word, and next thing you know, their channel's gone. So I'm just not participating. Let's, you know, all I can say is everybody should be at their nearest vaccine clinic. How's that?
Indeed. Okay. That's all good to know. Okay. I won't say it either. but here's the thing. I am torn about it. You know, I wish that Disney had made the decision to do the day and date. I like the premiere access option that Black Widow had and Raya and the Last Dragon had. And in particular for this film, because it's so important culturally to Asian Americans and I think just fans of diverse media, that it would have been great to just remove that barrier of access, especially for marginalized communities, because for that Schmovid, it is particularly impactful to those who are underprivileged or marginalized. Yeah. And so, look, I encourage people to go to theaters and support this film because it's important if they're vaccinated and they feel safe. If they don't, like, you've got to wait 45 days until it comes out on Disney Plus.
Right.
That's a shame. But I certainly, as passionate as I am about this film, it's not more important than your health and safety.
We echo that excessively. All I could say is to be properly and totally vaccinated, it'll take you 4 weeks, and then you'll be able to see it in theaters. So go tomorrow and get vaccinated if you haven't yet. How's that?
That's right. Figure out the timeline so you can get there.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned, you bring up underserved and underprivileged communities and your Shang-Chi challenge, raising money to take kids from the Boys and Girls Club of San Gabriel Valley to free screenings of Shang-Chi. It was such a really incredible thing. And that's kind of what first drew us to your profile, to be totally honest, is this really awesome initiative. Tell us about how that's gone and how people can get involved still if they're looking to participate.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thanks for bringing that up and letting me talk about it. So the Shang-Chi Challenge is a fundraiser on GoFundMe that I've been coordinating over the last couple of weeks. The goal was to raise originally $10,000 for a free private screening for the benefit of the kids at the Boys and Girls Club of San Gabriel Valley. Now, you may or may not know, San Gabriel Valley is a suburb of Los Angeles that has a huge Asian population. And, one report had the Asian population in San Gabriel Valley is larger than the Asian populations in 42 different states in the United States.
Wow.
So it's significant. And I know that community well. I grew up in that community. So I know the kind of impact that a movie like Shang-Chi could have on those kids. And so the response has been incredible. And we were able to meet the $10,000 goal in less than 3 days.
Holy moly.
It was so amazing to see that. So we expanded it to add another screening of Shang-Chi for the second weekend after the premiere, as well as exactly the point you just talked about for those who aren't safe. We're going to try to do private viewing parties of Disney Plus at the Boys and Girls Clubs once it's out on Disney Plus. And so we increased the goal to another 10,000 for a total of 20,000. We're currently just over 15,000. Not gonna lie to you guys, it's been a little bit of a trudge since after those first 3 days. So we're trudging along, but it's been a little slow.
Well, I mean, there are, like I said earlier, man, there are just no words for folks like you and everybody participating who gets involved in things like this. Just such an incredible thing to do. And the fact that you're even at 15 is insane. And we are going to do everything in our power to get you up and over that 20. It's such a really cool goal and a really cool initiative and something that hopefully Everybody who's hoping for the success of Shang-Chi for a multitude of reasons, whether or not they just like Marvel movies or whether or not they like to see these diverse stories being told on the big screen for somebody as big as Marvel. You know, getting you up and over 20K is super important. So we're going to do everything in our power to help you get there.
I appreciate the support. We need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Really awesome. Now, I mean, you know, with that said, I have to ask now. Now we're getting into the, you know, the meat and the potatoes here. I don't know if you've eaten yet. but you want to take these folks to see Shang-Chi without, you know, without Multiverse of Madness, you know, without ruining, ending every anticipation like the Twitter trailer leak of No Way Home. Tell me what we can expect in theaters on September 3rd when it comes to this film.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to. You guys cut me off if you feel like it's veering into anything that
will do.
Wants to hear about.
I will. You will hear me make the Dumb and Dumber noise if you're getting too close.
Okay, sounds good. I'm pretty good, I think, at this point, talking about it in a non-spoiler way. I definitely want all of you to enjoy it and just be able to experience the newness and awe that I did. And what I can say about this film, again, it is an authentically Asian American story. Emphasis on the American. It certainly is very Chinese too. Like they made it a point to cast all of the actors of Chinese heritage, except for Sir Ben Kingsley, which is in a spoiler because he was at the red carpet premiere.
Yep. don't worry, no noise yet.
Yeah, right. And so that should be expected, which means, look, the master of Kung Fu, the action has to deliver, and I think it does. It's exceptional. The Jackie Chan stunt team was heavily involved with the stunt coordination of the film, led by the late Brad Allen, who recently passed away unexpectedly. He was the first non-Asian member of the Jackie Chan stunt team, and kind of like a son to Jackie Chan. And so we get to enjoy his work for one of the last times. It's not the very last time, actually, but one of the last times, and it is awesome. But the thing that I was surprised about is it's really funny. It's a really hilarious film that I didn't expect, with Awkwafina. Simu has his own acting chops, and Ronnie Chang, who's a pretty good, great stand-up comedian, is involved as well. It's a really funny film.
That's really fascinating you bring that out. And I mean, I think Phase 4, for everything that it's been, and I'm going to get into kind of the diverse stories of Phase 4 in just a minute. But for everything Phase 4 has been, the hand-to-hand combat, especially in Black Widow so far, and Falcon Winter Soldier, and the comedy has kind of been really good.
Yeah, I agree. And the comedy level too, in particular.
Yeah, so I mean, just in terms of storytelling and magic, right? I mean, we hear so much about magic in the MCU, and sometimes they pull it off and sometimes they don't. You know, this film seems magical, right? And I think I'm sorry, I was going to say, I think that's the word that was used in your recent pull quote on the Disney promotion schedule. But that I believe was amazing, if I can correct myself. And congratulations on that. I saw you you gotta tell Mom about that one for sure. How do they do with the magic and some of that that Eastern visualization and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's definitely a magical, mystical element of it, and it is amazing, I can confirm. but I think what the mystical element that was really well represented, especially representing kind of like traditional Chinese culture and mythology, are the creatures. There are these incredible creatures. You probably have seen a little bit of the creatures in the trailers.
Yep.
So I won't go too much into it, but there are numerous Chinese inspired creatures that I thought were just incredible and add to that element. One of the things I said is it's very unique for an MCU film, and that's not to say it bucks like the MCU kind of formula. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, the MCU films all have a certain kind of formula, and I don't want to make it sound like Shang-Chi is a huge departure from that, because I think it still hits similar beats.
Yep.
But there's a mystical element inspired by Chinese culture that you've never seen before that I really love.
Really interesting. I will say that us on the MCU for Dummies podcast and our good friend over at Inverse.com, Daze Johnston, taught us that the reason that Marvel has this formula is because formulas work. You know, 2 + 2 always equals 4. The Pythagorean theorem always works out. You know what I mean? So it's really hard to get upset about the formula because the formula is quite good. So I'm okay with it. Obviously, you know, you like creativity and you can stray a little bit, but I think with these new stories and new characters, they can start to do that a little bit more. And that kind of leads me into this question of, you know, Shang-Chi's kind of starts a new level of Marvel hero, right? You know, we haven't been introduced to a new hero in quite a while. At least not one that we didn't already know. Right. So does this carry water for you? Is Shang-Chi somebody who is going to stick around in the MCU for many, many years to come?
Yeah, I think so for sure. There's no question that that's the plan. And I think the film firmly establishes how he will stand kind of shoulder to shoulder with some of the more powerful members of the MCU. You know, the thing about Shang-Chi in comics, which you guys probably know, is in the comics, he's just the master of Kung Fu. He's a regular human in terms of physical abilities. He just mastered Kung Fu. And when he was created in the 70s, you know, that's the thing about Asian exoticism. They were like, well, yep, he knows Kung Fu, so he must be able to then fight like galactic robots. And, you know, he's like, even though that's completely ridiculous, which is fine. In the MCU, I didn't think that was going to fly. And,
yeah,
you know, I think Kevin Feige and Destin and them agreed because they definitely set up the storyline that makes sense for him going forward. And you know what? I want to say one thing. It's not just Shang-Chi. This is what I love about this film that Black Panther really kind of paved the way for. In Black Panther, it's not T'Challa that is the only figure that's important in the MCU. And we've seen, you know, Okoye appear and Shuri and Endgame and things like that and Nakia. It's a whole community of characters. You're going to see more Asian characters in the MCU because of Shang-Chi. And I think that is critically important.
That's really awesome. Like I mentioned, I mean, we're in this, you know, this era of we need new heroes, right? I mean, we are Tony Starkless. We are Cap. Well, not Capless anymore, but you know, we need some fresh blood, and to give that blood with some new and diverse voices is really important. I've brought it up a couple times, but Phase 4 has been heavily diverse, right? I mean, you know, you kind of kick it off with a WandaVision woman-led, robot-led story, right? And then you follow that up with Falcon Winter Soldier, a Black-led story, and then you hit that up with Loki following that, gender fluidity and bisexuality, and then you got Black Widow thrown in there, another woman-led story, and then you've got Shang-Chi, which is an Asian-led story. You know, how cool is it to see from your perspective? I mean, as somebody who runs, right, a POC culture Twitter handle, how cool is that to see from an outside perspective?
Oh my gosh, it's so cool. And I haven't been asked this question, and I appreciate that because it really is, it's hugely impactful for the Marvel Cinematic Universe to embrace diversity in the way that it has with Phase 4. And in many ways, Black Panther inspired me to do what I'm doing now. And in fact, I should say the Shang-Chi challenge was inspired by my friend Fred Joseph, who's an author and activist who did the Black Panther challenge in 2018.
Wow.
And he sent, you know, a bunch of kids from the Boys and Girls Club in Harlem to watch screenings there and inspired a bunch of other screenings. So, you know, when I saw that film, it was like, it's different than just, okay, here's your one token diverse character.
Yep.
And enjoy it and don't complain. You know, the MCU is really embracing diversity in a variety of areas. Like you mentioned, I thought you outlined it perfectly. And the MCU, as you all know, because you run a podcast about it, it's the biggest brand in the world. There's nothing more impactful than that right now. So how does it feel? It feels like we finally got invited to the biggest, most important table in the room.
That's really cool. And hopefully, I mean, based on your reaction to the film, I just hope they do it justice because, you know, we've seen it before where there's some missteps and some unfortunate things that take place. I may have started the interview a little bit hard with that marketing question about the film as a whole, but obviously there's always feedback and there's always things you can improve, but just hoping from this dummy chair, hoping that Marvel does it justice for this story in particular, and hopefully can create some new Marvel fans and some new Marvel faces moving forward in a different community, one that we haven't gotten enough of so far. I need to hand off to dummy number two, Lou here, who I have totally shut out of the conversation. Lou, I could talk Ron's ear off all night long. Anything percolating from your side?
No, you guys are doing great. I think just keep going, Ken. It's hard to dive into this point, you know, because you guys have covered so many great different topics and conversations. I think the question that I would have is, do you foresee a future in which Shang-Chi is playing in additional cameos down the line, right? Like almost like T'Challa's role in Infinity War, leading the troops with Cap, like on the front lines. Like, do you see a lot of the elements of Shang-Chi being used in future crossovers?
Yeah, I definitely think they do plan to integrate, again, more than just Shang-Chi, more than one character from the film into different cameos and future storylines. I think that much is actually quite clear, which is great. And I think we saw that it happened in Black Widow. And we've seen that happen in some of the other Disney Plus shows as well. And so I think that's going to move forward. And it's going to be where it used to be one MCU film would lead into the next one, leading into Avengers type of thing. I feel like what they're doing now with Phase 4 is one MCU story is seeding multiple future stories.
Yeah.
And multiple different team-ups. And so we'll see, you know, like, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too. We're getting to the point where the roster is so robust. Fantastic Four is coming. X-Men is going to come eventually. And so I don't even know how they're going to handle so many characters and so many different teams, so many different power levels. I mean, have you guys thought about that? Like, how you think it's going to go forward?
Ken, I could jump in here.
Yeah, go ahead, Lou. I have my thoughts, but you lead us off.
What makes me nervous about the question that you just asked is the potential of a 4 to 6 year movie array to try to get like the last big one out. And what I mean by that is it seems like we're heading down the direction in which all roads are going to lead to Secret Wars. You got you got the Avengers, you have Fantastic Four, you have X-Men. But what makes me concerned is I really don't want that final product to be like three separate movies over like 6 hours that take 5 years to come out. Which is fine, because, you know, something that Ken and I always talk about is, like, we're almost, like, a decade and a half into this process. They've made a bajillion dollars from this, and, like, at some point, it's like, all right, Kevin Feige has to move on. Marvel maybe has to go a different direction or, like, recast the original movies to just keep it fresh or whatever. Like, I just hope it doesn't sour towards the end with just a ton of stuff that they throw out the wall.
Yeah, I'm a little bit with Lou. And this is kind of one of the only questions I have about the film as a whole, just in general, of how it fits into the MCU, really, is, you know, like Lou mentioned, we have this Secret Wars thing that we know is coming, right? We know that's on the horizon. We also know that we've got some sort of Dark Avenger slash, Thunderbolts roster starting to take shape, right? With Julia Louis-Dreyfus running around. There's so many and then obviously the multiverse stuff, right? Which is more pertinent than ever. There's so many of these big story, huge stories, which really would come together with like a big team 'em up, beat 'em up kind of movie. And I'm not sure where we get that. And I'm a little concerned that a lot of these heroes might never interact. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that would be interesting. They definitely have to have some kind of division of storylines, you know, where
right.
You have like cosmic level characters maybe doing their thing, Captain Marvel, Thor, Guardians, and then maybe kind of street level characters. But I agree with you. I don't know that we could do a massive, Secret Wars. It takes like a decade to tell the story or something. It's going to be really challenging. I trust Kevin Feige. I'm sure you do too.
Hard not to, right?
Yeah. And clearly he's thought this out. It's not like he's going to wake up one day, listen to your podcast, as I'm sure he does all the time.
Naturally.
And say, what am I going to do with that?
He's like, oh my God, they figured me out. I totally with you. I mean, it's just such an interesting, because, you know, we did have like these, we had these space here. And I mean, we're still going with Thor and we're still going with the Guardians, right? And we still have Black Panther who's coming back into the fold. Right. So like it's all of these stories, folks that we already know. We know we're getting another Cap movie. Right. So like these stories that we kind of already know, and they obviously they're gonna, you know, different characters, different families, et cetera, et cetera. But I wonder how they all come together. And my main question about Shang-Chi is does this film make it clear where he stands on the roster? Is he a Doctor Strange type? Not to that extent, but Doctor Strange type magical Marvel hero? Is he a Black Panther type, brawler type? You know, where does he fit in?
Oh my goodness, that's such a good question. And I don't know that I fully thought that out. because, again, it's a really good question. I think the way the film ends, and the stingers, there's two stingers. Again, I won't spoil them.
Mid and end, just for posterity?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so I don't think it's clear yet what realm he's going to kind of occupy, except to say that clearly he will have the ability to go up against a variety of threats. So he doesn't have to just be, from the comics like Marvel Knights or Heroes for Hire. He doesn't just have to be on the streets. He definitely can at least go up against higher level threats.
I will say I appreciate your dancing skills, and that you're able to dance around that question without any spoilers is impressive, my friend. You should do not forget to get your tap shoe signed after you're done with this one. We appreciate the no spoiler zone. I got to be honest with you.
Hey, well, you know what they say, dance is often the best foundation for martial arts.
Ron Solo, the new master of Kung Fu, my friend. and we are so lucky to have you on the podcast. Ron, let me give you the mic here. Last couple of minutes, you know, we've got, as they say on the old The Hot Ones wing-eating show, this camera, that camera, this camera. Tell the people what you got going on. Where can they find you? How can they get involved with the Shang-Chi Challenge, et cetera, et cetera? Tell the people what you got going on.
Yeah, definitely. So I am the editor-in-chief of POCculture.com, which you graciously mentioned earlier at the start. So all my reviews, critiques, news highlighting diverse creatives and projects can be found there. I am on Twitter at POC_culture because Twitter won't give me the dead handle that's POC culture. I'm so bitter about that.
How much do you want?
Exactly. But on Instagram, I am at POC culture. So I hope you find me on all those outlets.
Dang Zuckerberg.
Here's the thing that I'll say, more important than any of that, I hope you'll follow my work. But more important than all that is go to GoFundMe.com and look for the Shang-Chi Challenge. I think you'll find some great info there. You'll find what my motivations and passions are. If you can contribute, awesome. I appreciate it. But it costs you nothing to retweet it, to share it, to put it on whatever your social network is. I really appreciate just getting the word out because the more people are involved, it's lifting up the community by the community. And so that's what I'm really hoping for.
Absolutely, Ron. Ron Solo of POC Culture, at POC_culture on Twitter, at POC Culture on Instagram, because they let him have the real handle. really, really, really awesome to have you on. We will put all of the links to all of those things that Ron just mentioned. We'll all be in the bio of the description of this podcast, as the professionals say, and we will make sure to put it out on all of our socials as well. Ron, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and we cannot wait to have you back on after we have seen Shang-Chi and can actually talk about what takes place in the film, and then we can go full spoiler. How's that?
I would love that.
All right.
Ken, Lou, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun, and love your show, and look forward to being back.
We really appreciate it, Ron. You have a safe drive home. Our friend Ron joining us from the road. Seriously, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Take care, Ron.
Thanks. Take care. All right, guys.